information poor. This announcement offered by WaterOz, makers of America's leading water-soluble products.
Inducted into the Nevada Broadcasters Hall of Fame with outstanding performance, it's Lou Epton.
All right, back we are, 26 in front of the hour. Lou Epton here with you on AM 1230 KLAV. We're coming away out of Las Vegas, Nevada. As promised, our very special guest this morning, Jordan Maxwell. Jordan Maxwell, good morning. Welcome aboard.
Good morning, Lou.
How are you doing?
Well, I think okay.
Okay, now I didn't get any faxes overnight.
I know that. You know, I did two radio shows yesterday and last night late. And I had to be running to studios and all that kind of thing, so I didn't get a chance to get any information to you.
What do you do in your spare time?
I fulfill orders.
I understand that. By the way, as you know, and I'm sure you're aware, you got a great many fans that listen to this program. And when I told them that today we were going to start out talking about the men in black, I think we piqued their interest, so let's not keep them waiting too much longer. What is there about these people in black?
Well, that's, I think, from my perspective, I think the whole idea of men in black implies something even much deeper than just the UFO connection. Movies have been made about the men in black.
Yeah.
But, I mean, think about all the different kinds of people that wear black,
yeah,
and as an official color, like,
yeah,
the Nazis had the Gestapo with the men in black. Their color was black. And what are we talking about? Black is a color that was associated with the planet Saturn. And the priests of Saturn wore black robes, and we've talked about that before.
Well, wait, I thought Saturn, what was the red planet?
The red one was Mars.
Oh, okay, thank you. The black one, then, you're right.
Yeah, it was Saturn. And then, of course, the green one was Venus. Venus, for some reason, was given the official color of green. This is why in the Islamic world you have the green flags and green colors.
Hmm.
And because Islam is very heavily connected to the planet Venus. And yet they have incorporated some of the Saturnalian worship, too, in Islam, because the square, the black square in Mecca, is actually the symbol for the planet Saturn in the Arabic world. And so many people who, you know, who make their pilgrimages to Mecca and hold Mecca to be so holy, and do not realize that that black square in Mecca, which is the holiest spot on the earth for Islam, actually represents the planet Saturn. And, you know, this is, as I said before, this is why you wear a black square mortarboard when you graduate from university. It's the same concept of the black square. And the Nazis, as I said, they had a whole division of ruthless murderers called the Gestapo, and they wore black. And they were referred to in their beginnings, they were called the Black Sun Organization, or the Black Sun Brotherhood.
Yeah.
Later they became officially known as Gestapo. Black Sun is a term, if you look it up in the dictionary, reference work, is the planet Saturn. So I'm saying that there is an occult or a hidden significance to both the color black and people who wear black officially, such as judges, priests, and the Catholic priest, of course, wears black robes.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting when you, if you're ordering a black robe that the priest of the Catholic Church wear, the name of that robe, the black robe that the priest wears, if you're ordering it in a catalog, it's called the Geneva robe, because it's representing something very, very interesting. Geneva, of course, is the city of banks in Switzerland.
Yeah.
This is why the Pope has a Swiss guard. The banks are guarding the boss. And UCC, Uniform Commercial Code, Maritime Admiralty Law, can be traced all the way back into ancient history, and especially was in existence today in our world, maritime law, based on the Vatican canon law. So the Vatican is very much connected to international banking behind the scenes. The priests wear the robe of Geneva. You know, there's a world of connections in the occult or dark side that most people are just not aware of. I mean, Nazism, Islam, all of these major isms in the world came from somewhere. Their symbols mean something.
Well, now, you've done extensive research into all of the various religions. How old is the religion known as Islam?
Very recent. Very, very recent. Far more recent than we are even given to understand about Islam. We are assuming it was back in the Middle Ages, but it's even more earlier, later than that, I should say. And there are some excellent books out, reference books, which tell you exactly when this religion first came about, who did it. The Catholic Church was extremely instrumental in starting or in forming what we call Islam today. The
really?
Catholic Church, yeah, I think that the Jesuits were very instrumental in forming for the Arabic world that which is called Islam. I am just amazed at how much information, actual documentation and reference books on the subject, and no one seems to, no one seems to have read the books I've read. They're everywhere.
I understand, but you've got how many years research in
40. I was doing this back in 1959.
Wow.
And, I think the Jesuits are very, very, the Catholic Jesuit movement, I think, is very instrumental in starting different religious organizations around the world for their devious and dark and sinister, I would say insidious reasons. Islam is just one of many things which the Catholic Church has been involved in. It's a very big story. When you get into religion and its connections to government, it becomes very obvious that governments have always relied on institutional religion to bolster its power.
Well, now, this isn't anything against the people practicing Catholicism today. And I just want to make that point.
Well, and let me make it, too, because my mother and father and my family and all of my family were Catholic, and, I'm not condemning the people. I'm talking about institutions and concepts and ideas. I'm not talking about the people at all.
Well, exactly where do the Jesuits fit in? And forgive me if I'm naive because I'm not as well schooled in religion. Where do the Jesuits fit into the overall Catholic faith?
Well, the Jesuits were a military, Ignatius Loyola, the founder of what we call the Jesuits today, was a very, very extremely militant thinking priest. And he basically was unimpressed with the concept of going out and making disciples, etc. His idea was a little bit more business-like. Go out and bust heads.
Huh.
You know.
Yeah.
And, let's get this thing organized. And, it sounds wonderful to go out and make disciples, but the church is a actual organization. And when you, if you, you know, the hard, cold realities of life is that if you are a Christian, or if you are a person that loves the Lord, you're not going anywhere in this world. You've got to take the sword and cut a few heads off.
That sounds
and
like
so. That was the whole idea of the Jesuits, is to become a military order. And of course, I'm sure he got much of his thinking from the Templars, which were the Knights Templars, which were a military order within the Church. And so much of our military is based on the Jesuits, and a lot of our military terms that we use in the military is based on the Knights Templars of the 9th and 10th century. You know, they had their generals and their corporals and their underlings were called soldiers, taken from the Latin S-O-L, Sol.
Yeah.
So they were workers of the sun or fighters for the sun. They were fighters for the enlightened masters, or what we today refer to as the Illuminati.
Yeah.
So the Illuminati was a name that was originally, the first time we ever come across the name Illuminati in the way that we use it today is the Jesuits. Of course, the that term has become loosely used all around, you know, talking about different organizations.
Uh-huh.
But it was first Jesuits. So I'm just saying that I think that there is a whole insidious and dark side to world governments, religion, terms, words, symbols, that needs to be aired out. I think it'd be great to have this kind of stuff brought out into public view, and let's see who these people really are. Who give us the black square when we graduate? Who gives us that idea? When we graduate, why do we wear a robe? You know, why? And well, because you're getting a degree. You're getting a degree from college, which is the same degree that you get in court. You get the third degree in court.
So, yeah.
And these words and terms, why do we use the word degree?
Yeah.
I mean, this is the kind of stuff that's fascinated me for years.
I can tell. How long? Just, you know, you stop and think about it. Now that you brought it up, I've got to ask, for how long have we been wearing mortarboards and robes when we graduate college?
Well, I've got pictures and articles going back to the earliest English Empire, back in the Middle Ages, around the 10th century, 11th and 12th century. There are lots of drawings and paintings. And incidentally, that black square mortarboard is a Catholic symbol.
Really?
It is used in the. It was used by Catholic theologians, and so anytime you or your children go to college or university and wear the black mortarboard, just know that this has to do with many things: one, Catholic; two, Saturn; three, occultism and the dark side of Freemasonry. It's a very sinister and, you know, frightening implications when you start tracing back the things that we use every day. I mean, we use poison. We use poisons every day and don't seem to really be bothered much about it. You know, we just transport nuclear stuff and poisons and guns and all kinds of things, never realizing, taking into consideration how really dangerous and deadly some of the stuff we use every day, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And toxic chemicals, etc. Well, you know, I have a term I use in my lectures, toxic religion. There are toxic terms that we use, and all of this, it bothered me many, many years ago, all of this, because there's a scripture that says the only way that you can come before God is in spirit and truth.
Yeah.
And I think that's true. The only way you're going to deal with the divine in this universe is spiritually and in truth. Anything less than that is just a religion. And incidentally, I can explain to you very simply the difference between, a lot of people don't know the difference between theology and mythology.
All right, we're going to ask you to do exactly that in just a little bit. Right now, we're going to ask you to hold up while we do a quick timeout. Fair enough? Lou Epton with Jordan Maxwell this morning, right here from AM 1230 KLAV, coming your way out of Las Vegas, Nevada, 7311230, and if you're far away, the area is 702. Todd, be patient. You will be first up when we take calls. Right now, let's all hear the following so we can come right back. 4-8, but shh, don't tell your doctor. He probably doesn't even want to know.
Exposing the truth, uncovering the fraud in all levels of government, here's Lou Epton.
All right, back we are. 9 before the top of the hour. Lou Epton, if you joined us late, our very special guest today, Jordan Maxwell. Together here at AM 1230 KLAV, 7311230, area 702. Jordan, you're going to tell us the difference between theology and religion.
Well, theology and mythology.
Or mythology.
First of all, theology comes from the Greek word theos, meaning God, and ology is the study of. So theology is the study of God.
Okay.
Simple. And mythology comes from the word mithros in Greek, which simply means a story. It doesn't mean it's right or wrong or good or bad or true or false. It's just a story. Well, a lot of stories are true. And we get stories in the newspaper. We get stories everywhere. So mythology comes from mithros, meaning a story. Basically, theology is what you believe about God. And consequently, mythology is what your friend believes about God. Yeah. So, whatever it is you think is true, that's what the truth is.
Uh-huh.
Whatever your guy across the street, your friend across the street believes, that's mythology. He hasn't got the faintest idea what's going on.
The reason I started religion is a good friend puts religion this way, re-Elijah.
Yeah.
Think about that for a second. Re-Elijah, being realigned. Is there any connection there whatsoever? I mean,
the word actually religion comes from a Latin word religio, which means to bind down or tie back, which has been interpreted in different reference books to mean different things. One seems to feel that it means to bring back, tie you down and bring you back to the basics of God. But anytime you talk about tie down and bind back, it also seems to be restrictive, meaning that you can't go any further. This is what the belief is, and we don't want to hear anything new, and we don't want to hear any facts. This is the way it is, and that's the way it's going to be. So I think you could probably look at it both ways, because the reference works seem to take that word religion, and it basically, as I said, means to bind down and tie back, whatever the implications of that is. But so many times people use terms in religion and government, and we don't even understand what the words mean. Nobody takes the time to actually sit down and make a scientific study of why words and terms are used. However, your audience, and you know as well as I do, how well concealed this insidious misuse of words and terms to trick people into believing things which are not true. I mean, Erwin Schiffel explained it to you about all the,
those
two things in this world that are absolutely definite, and that's death and taxes.
Yeah.
And Jesus said death wasn't definite, and Erwin Schiff will show you that taxes aren't definite. So, you know, I just think that the study of terms and words and ideas and where they've come from is really an explosive and controversial subject, because, my goodness, so many things we think we understand, we just don't have yet. You know?
Well, something is simple. I believe it's almost everywhere across the nation today. We went from laws to statutes. We went from statutes to revised statutes. I think most of us are aware of what the word revised implies.
Yep.
And we are certainly aware of what statutes imply. Why are they revised?
Yeah, you don't revise a statue. You know, it's chiseled in stone.
No, we're talking law, statutes.
Well, yeah,
I understand
that.
You're tying it
to... Yeah, so I'm just tying it into, you know, what is this, the revised revision of the original revisions that were revised, you know?
Something like that.
Yeah, like that. They keep revising it because what they're basically trying to do, what government tries to do, is to bind down and tie back and keep people under control. This is why when you see on police cars, it says to protect and serve the public. The word public in law means government. This is why when you go into a court, you don't have the money for an attorney, you get a public defender. Public defender, the word public means government. Not you. You're not public. The word public in law means the government. So therefore, you've got a public defender. It's appointed by the government.
Right.
To protect the government from you. This is why the police are out there, to protect and serve the public, or to protect and serve the powers that be to make sure you don't get out of line.
Oh, boy.
You know, I mean, we need to look at words. We need to look at the terms.
You know what? You're right. You're absolutely right. And again, as you point out, too few people. Well, they're so busy, you know, doing so many other things.
Well, I know.
It's hard to get the time to even do it. We started out, and I want to get back to talking about the Men in Black.
Oh, yes.
Before we get totally off course, because I find that a fascinating topic. And now that I understand, based on what you said, Saturn is the black planet.
That's it. It's also was referred to in Nazi Germany. And in other places, even the Nazis got the idea from an earlier civilization. The Sumerians called the planet Saturn the Black Sun. Mm-hmm. And as I said, the Gestapo was referred to when it first came into being as the Black Sun Order, the Order of the Black Sun. The Hindus know of the Black Sun. The Buddhists know of the Black Sun. There are many different ancient cultures that refer to and talk about the Black Sun, and researching each one, you find out they're talking about the planet Saturn. Now, why the planet Saturn? Actually, I'm not sure why the planet Saturn has come to know and mean what it does, but universally, this is the name of the tomb, that Saturn is the planet of the black side, the dark side.
Yeah, and I've got to believe the term Satan.
That's exactly right.
Comes from the planet Saturn.
That's it, the planet Saturn. And I think it has to do, and you've had him on as a guest before, and I think it'd be good if you had him on again, is Dave Talbot. Because Dave Talbot wrote a book many years ago called The Saturnalian Myth, or The Saturn Myth, and it talked about how Saturn was probably, and most likely, very close to the Earth at one time and caused a lot of natural phenomena because it came too close to the Earth. Mm-hmm. That's at least a possibility, and I think has a lot of merit, that our solar system, as we know it today, most scientists and all of us pretty much feel that the whole solar system as we have it today has been around from day one, has always been there. You know, all the different planets have been there from forever. But in point of fact, that's not true. We now have scientific evidence to indicate that our planets in our solar system were not where they are today. And that they could have been our Earth could have been in a different orbit. Mars could have been much closer to us. Saturn could have passed between Mars and the Earth. We're talking about many, many, many thousands of years ago. But if that would have happened, and there seems to be a lot of scientific proof now that that did happen, there would have been great electrical discharges from one planet to another because there is a lot of electricity generated by the rotation of planets, and these great cuts in Mars, like on the surface of Mars, you'll see these jagged cuts, and our what's the thing over the Grand Canyon, those kind of cuts in the Earth. Seem to, you know, we feel there's probably been water erosion, but no. We now know that those electrical cuts or those cuts in the surface of Mars were caused by great electrical discharges cutting through Mars, jumping out into space and hitting the Earth. As off the wall as that may sound,
yes,
there seems to be an awful lot of proof for that scientifically.
Huh.
So maybe that's where the planets got their dark side. You know, Mars is the god of war. Well, maybe there was a lot of destruction on the Earth if Mars came too close to the Earth, and a lot of people died, and a lot of terrible things happened to the Earth.
You don't think you're putting too much credence into the astrological portion of this?
Well, this is not what I was just talking about. Has nothing to do with astrology. It has to do with the science of astronomy.
Yeah.
However, yes, astrology, I believe, it's my personal belief, that astrology is taught, and of course I know this for a fact, that astrology is the basis for the Bible. And many people don't understand that, and the church has said that the astrology is evil and of the devil. And I believe the reason why the church has promoted this idea that astrology is evil, it's because of two reasons. One, misunderstanding, and God knows we got misunderstanding in everything today.
Oh, yeah.
And also a desire to make sure that the people stay ignorant and ill-informed, and only the priesthood would be educated and knowledgeable, and therefore the people would be dependent on the church and the priest to tell them what the truth is. And they don't want the people to know the truth. We know government doesn't want you to know the truth. We know banks don't want you to know the real truth. But that's why we have programs like Lou Upton, because there are a few people who care about the truth. And I think that the real truth of the Bible is astrology. And I think I can make a very good case in a court where we have no prejudice or bigotry against the case. Just hear the evidence presented and give me a couple of hours and follow what I'm saying, and I think I can make a very good case if I'm not interrupted.
Well, okay, I don't know that we can give you a couple of hours. We don't have that much time left. We already have some folks on the phone, not necessarily to interrupt, but I'm sure they've got good questions and comments.
Well, I'm sure.
Before we do anything, can I give us a timeout?
Okay.
Okay, I'm sorry, but keep that thought.
You win.
Okay. That's because we control the controls.
Lou Upton
with... excuse me, with Jordan Maxwell. We're together here at AM 1230 KLAV, coming your way from Las Vegas, Nevada, 7311230, and if you're far away, 702. Let's all hear the following in...
Or check out our website at paynoincometax.com and let your income tax-free adventure begin.
Reporting what the mainstream media is afraid to expose, Lou Upton.
All right, back we are. 7 after the hour. Lou Upton along with Jordan Maxwell. He's our guest this morning if you join us late. We're coming your way from AM 1230 KLAV, Las Vegas. Our number is 7311230, and if you're far away, it's 702. And you want to make a comment or two, and then we can go to the phones?
Yes.
Okay, Jordan.
In the Bible, in Genesis 1:14, the Bible says that God created the lights of the firmament in the heavens. This is Genesis 1:14, and it says that God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let the lights in the heavens be for signs." S-I-G-N-S. Let them be for signs. You look it up in the Hebrew, and then the word signs is translated horoscope. Then in Genesis, the word actually signs is the Hebrew word oth, O-T-H. Horoscope or equals, I'm looking at reference book in Hebrew, O-T-H, oth means things to come, zodiac, meaning that God has put the stars there as signs, astrological signs. That's Hebrew. That's the Jewish Bible. That is Genesis, period. And consequently, we go from Genesis 1:14 to Genesis 16. Genesis 1:16 says that God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And then it has an interesting sentence. It says, "He made the stars also." Well, if in Genesis 1:14 it says that he made the lights of the different lights at night to divide the day from the and the signs, the lights with the service signs, we know as horoscope or signs of the zodiac. This is what the word means. Then we go to two scriptures down. It says he made the stars also, and you think, well, you just got to saying he made the stars. No, go back and look at it again. He made the stars also. You look up the word stars, and it is not the stars that we know of. It's the constellations. The correct translation says he made the constellations. And in the back of the Bible, in the reference work, it tells you the word stars in Genesis 1:16 is constellations of the zodiac. Consequently, we are told by Jesus, "In my Father's house are many mansions." And for years, people thought, oh, well, that means there will be a mansion in heaven for me. No, go back and do your homework. It doesn't mean that at all. Go back and read it originally. And in the King James, it says, "In my Father's house are many mansions." And we've heard that.
Yeah.
But the correct translation, the way it was actually written, is, "In my Father's abode are many houses. The abode of God is in the heavens." And yes, there's at least 12 houses in my Father's abode, which is the heavens. So there are 12 houses of the zodiac in heaven. This is why when Jesus was asked by his 12 apostles at the Last Supper, or the memorial on Niacin 14, "Where are you going to go when you leave here, now that this is the Last Supper and you're going to leave the world? And where are we to see you?" And he said, "Go into the city." This is in Luke 22:10. Luke 22:10 says, Jesus said, "Go into the city and you will see a man with a water pitcher. Go into the house of the man with the water pitcher." And in all the reference works, "house of the man with water pitcher" is always in capital letters. So you go back and read the footnotes, and it says this is the sign of Aquarius. And the astrological sign of Aquarius is the man with the water pitcher, because everyone who has studied Semitic or ancient theology knows men never, ever, under any condition, ever carried water. That was a woman's job. Never would a man be caught dead carrying a pitcher of water. Women were always at the well, not men. Consequently, why would Jesus say, "Go to the well, go to the city, and you will see a man carrying a pitcher of water"? Go into the house of the man with the water pitcher. Look up the word "house," and you will see it's a zodiacal term, the house of Aquarius. So I'm saying that yes, it is true. When you understand how to read the Bible correctly, not the way that we think we understand it, then you will see that there is a whole story that has been hidden here for thousands of years, and especially in the last 400 or 500 years since we come up with the English Bible, because the English were very, very good with the King's English, but they didn't know beans about Hebrew.
But, you know, everybody will tell you that the Bible is subject to your interpretation.
Yeah, that's true, because you don't know anything to start with, so consequently, anything you read, you're going to put your own interpretation.
Have you ever discussed any of these things with priests, rabbis, ministers, and
have I?
Yeah.
Oh, you kidding? That's one of my favorite pastimes. One of my best friends was a man named Rabbi Marvin S. Antleman, back in Newton, Massachusetts, and 35 years ago, Rabbi Antleman and I used to sit for hours on the phone and trade stories, and was a very good friend of mine. And at the time, he was the president of, I can't remember the name of the office, but it was the president of the American Rabbinical Association. He was a very, very high-ranking rabbi 35 years ago.
How about priests and ministers?
And priests, of course. I talked with Catholic priests. I used to talk to them all the time. I'd go downtown. I talked to the Freemasons. I talked to the Masonic Order.
How do they respond to what you're saying?
Yeah, I always got from the priest, the Catholic priest, a shrugged shoulder. And they would say to me things like, "Well, so what?" And I said, "What do you mean, so what?" And they said, "Well, okay, so you're right. Now, what are you saying?" I said, "Well, I'm saying that you're not telling the people the whole truth." And they said, "Well, is anybody? Does the Federal Reserve tell you the whole truth? No. Did your mother tell you the whole truth? No. Then why should we tell you the whole truth?"
Okay.
Come on, nobody tells you the truth. Why should we?
Okay, let's interrupt us for just a little bit here. I got to believe Todd is still patiently waiting, but we'll find out together. If not, why, we'll just go back and keep on talking. Todd, yeah. Are you there?
Yes, I am, Lou. Good morning, Lou and
Good
Jordan.
Good morning.
Jordan, it's always a pleasure to hear you on the radio.
Thank you, sir.
I got two quick questions for you. One is, your website ever going to get updated? I'm always checking that for new information, and I never seem to find any.
You know why? I'll tell you why. Because my webman is a brilliant guy, but he's so good, he's too busy for me.
So consequently,
I got all this great stuff I want to put out there on the web, and I got to wait for him, because I don't know beans about how to do it, and it's a very technical thing, putting new stuff on the web. So he's supposed to be coming tonight, but that's one of the big problems, is that putting new things on the web takes the genius of somebody that knows how to do it, and I don't have any help here. I just do what I do by myself.
I understand. I'll keep checking back.
Uh-huh.
My other question is, I remember reading a long time ago, and I can't remember where I read it, that the steeple on churches came from an ancient or ancient cults that worship phallic symbols and things like that. Is that true?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. This is why all you've got to do is go to the library and look up the word phallic, and it has just reams of books on ancient phallic worship. I mean, it's everywhere. I talked about the fact that in Washington, D.C., you have the Washington Monument, which is an Egyptian obelisk, which itself is a steeple. It's the Washington Monument. And it is an Egyptian obelisk, and the Egyptian obelisk represented the male erection. And it connects to the female ovaries, or the oval office. And so
go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt.
I was just going to say, there's a huge amount of information on church steeples representing the male erection. I mean, that's the fact of life.
It always amazes me what people will, you know, worship and believe just because the church tells them without doing any checking
on
their
own. Well, what about the Internal Revenue?
Exactly.
What about the Federal Reserve?
Exactly.
Yeah,
what
about the government? Court.
The government itself. Like I've heard you explain many times, maritime law and how our government's actually set up.
But did they tell you? No, they didn't tell you. And you're never going to hear it, ever. Not in this world or the one to come, if you're waiting for our masters, the manipulators and the exploiters of our human family, to tell you what they're doing, then you've got a long wait. They're never going to tell you the truth, ever.
You got that right.
Well, that's the name of the tune.
Okay.
Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you, Todd. All right, Jordan, let's hold up and do a quick timeout.
Sure.
Lou Efton, Jordan Maxwell, just in case you joined us late. We're together here, coming your way from AM 1230 KLAV out of Las Vegas, Nevada. You want to get involved with any question or comment, we're easy to reach at 731-1230, far away, 702. So now let's all hear the following. We've got a ways to go, and we'll do it.